This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, baby. 2 hours. 2 hours, 8 minutes. The two best words you can hear as an Astros fan. Grinky starts. It is must TV. It is must see TV. Brent Strom's wife's excited. I know you are too.
The baby's
going crazy, that Zach Grinky. He's calling his pitches. His post-game press conferences are must listen to. Astros looking for their 6th straight win against a good ball club in the Colorado Rockies. Astros 1.5-game lead for 2nd place in the AL West. You don't have to wait. You don't have to look at the clock. 2:10 is when that's going to begin. Right as that's about to wrap up, Houston Rockets versus the Oklahoma City.
Two other words you want to hear.
Playoff basketball.
Damn right.
James Harden versus Chris Paul. James Harden says it's not personal. Stick it, James Harden. This is personal. This is Chris Paul, a guy who almost had James Harden in the NBA Finals for the first time as a franchise player. I know he went early in his career in Oklahoma City. Almost had it, but there was a groin tear. Then the next year, there was some animosity between the two guys. Could these guys function? The answer was hell no. They shipped his ass to Oklahoma City. Russell Westbrook came this way. Russell Westbrook suddenly became beloved. Well, Russell Westbrook is unavailable for the game tonight. And you know what that means? That means it's James Harden versus Chris Paul, an Oklahoma City team that has overachieved. A Rockets team that a lot of people have been high on. You're not going to have Russell Westbrook, but you're going against the guy that you couldn't coexist with. If this isn't personal, then I don't know what is personal, James Harden. Playoff basketball, Grinky start, happy hour, 2 hours away. Best Tuesday ever, you bet your ass. Lunchtime on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610.
I mean, it's here. I think we all appreciate sports more than we have before, and I didn't think that was possible. I mean, from the time I could walk, I was all about this stuff. It just seems better now. It just seems that you appreciate it more. By the way, the Texans came off the practice field 11-on-11, full padded practice. You heard Sean Pendergast. You can hear that and rewind it on radio.com if you want. And Anthony Weaver just spoke on that defense, which has had some good days.
Yeah, we're gonna hear
and we're going to go to Anthony Weaver live over at the at NRG. But let's talk about these two things right now. Astros are playing some really good baseball again. I'd like to find out more about Yordan, but that's neither here nor there.
Dusty's meeting with the trainer right now.
Is he going to text us?
No, after the game, we'll find out.
Okay, after the game. We'll see. We've heard that before. But Grinky pitching, man, and they need to make up some ground. A's are still playing
They need to pick up. I'm not looking at first. I'm looking at second.
A's are still playing some ball,
man. I haven't even looked at the A's. I literally do not look at the A's anymore.
I could see that. I mean, they've controlled the division so far this year. And then there's the Rockets. You know,
Wow, that was quite a defeated sigh right there. What are we dealing with there, buddy?
Not defeated.
The playoffs, and you just sounded like you almost had to like.
No, it was a huff. I huffed. Because I agree with your
point.
Why
are you huffing?
I huffed because I agree with your point on James Harden. I want to see him make it personal. I think that's what it's about. That's what playoffs are about. I mean, I grew up in the era of Kevin McHale committing assault on Kurt Rambis and only getting a foul call. It's got to be personal in the playoffs. You know? I want that. I want him to go at Chris Paul the way he needs to go at him. Not like Mikhail did.
You want to fight
Rambis? Not like that. But I want it personal. I want to see that intensity level go up that much more.
All right, I'm going to do what a lot of people have done lately, and it's Figgy's pet peeve. If there's anything I've noticed that it
you're gonna say one hundo?
No, there's a lot of ways that Figgy could possibly be pissed off at me.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one thing that really bothers Figgy.
Okay,
and that's all of this Last Dance romanticizing the Last Dance and bringing the Last Dance.
Oh, you're gonna do it?
And everybody asks about the Last Dance. No, I'm just gonna say this: if James Harden says it's not personal going against Chris Paul, a guy who he butted heads with. When they were teammates.
Probably had a big lot to do with him leaving.
Yes. A guy who is now overachieving in Oklahoma City. If that's not personal, what would Michael Jordan have said if he'd been asked the question about Chris Paul being his former teammate? Michael Jordan's a guy who would take it personal against somebody else.
He punched dudes on his own team.
And I know James Harden isn't Michael Jordan, so I'm not trying to go there. But what would Kobe have said? That's one of James Harden's idols. Do you think if Kobe was asked, is it personal against Chris Paul, what do you think Kobe would have said?
Yes. Yes, he would have. Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan, I know they are the absolute extreme. Don't get me wrong. But there are players cut from the same cloth that want to just rip your heart out of your chest between the lines. You know who said that as much? Whose friend is Spalding?
Russell Westbrook
said, I have no friends on the court.
They were asked about Oklahoma City. Yeah. He said, straight up, I got no friends on that court.
My friend is Spalding, now Wilson.
Yeah, there it is.
And so that's what I want to hear. And I'm not. It's not a criticism. It's just like, come on, man.
That is a criticism.
I guess in a way, but I want to like elevate it, dude. Let's you know, if you've heard all the noise about, well, he doesn't quite get it done in the postseason, elevate the game. Elevate the intensity.
And look, I get that. Some people are saying, well, you know, Oklahoma City's favored now. They shouldn't be. If James Harden is this generational talent that we keep hearing about, and James Harden is this guy who deserves a statue outside of the Toyota Center and stuff, against this Oklahoma City team and Chris Paul at this point in his career, the Rockets should be okay. The Rockets should be okay, and they should be able to get the job done. And James Harden should be the best player on the court by far, and that should be the situation. There should not be a this is an underdog squad, because there's a lot of James Harden critics. There's a lot of James Harden apologists. I think James Harden's one of the best shooting guards to ever play the game. I think James Harden's as crafty as it gets. I think he's revolutionary with some of the stuff that he does. But if you are really one of these all-time greats, and I always have to hear about how James Harden doesn't get enough respect, and James Harden, you know, it just seems like everyone's out to get him. This is a series you have to win if you're James Harden. Russell Westbrook or not. And we could see Russell Westbrook a little later on in this series. But you have to win this series against this overachieving Oklahoma City team and a guy that, quite frankly, you ran out of town. They can rewrite the narrative and they can say, well, no, that's not the case. And Chris Harden and James Paul can say that. We know. We've talked to people. We know that they were butting heads. And the shelf life of James Harden and Chris Paul, it ran out of gas. So if running Chris Paul out of town in favor of James Harden was clearly the right decision, this is the number one measuring stick of it. James Harden versus Chris Paul, and comparable supporting cast because Eric Gordon's back. So I don't want to hear anything about it not being personal. I don't want to hear any of that. This is the ultimate measurement of James Harden and where he sits right now.
And no one is more aware of the reputation James Harden has than James Harden. If you know people are saying these things about you, sort of, you know, not really as invested as a Kobe, you know, not really as intently, you know, intent to just, you know, rip a guy's heart out like James Harden. The last thing you should do is like, not personal, really. No, not really. Yeah, you have to be able to understand what people are saying about you and change that.
Dude, we better duck. My gosh, look at the text line. Hit the ground. 0420 on the text line. Guys, it's funny. Harden makes it personal about the MVP, but it's not personal about the playoffs. What a loser.
That's my point. James Harden knows his reputation, that he's all about it, the numbers and you know, pouting when he doesn't win the MVP, which, by the way,
with
Giannis,
the Greek freak, he wouldn't even answer next question. And
right.
Now, this is not personal with Chris Paul.
Right.
But when it's about showing that I'm the MVP, it's knuckle up time.
And he knows that. He was asked twice about Giannis and did the next question thing. He pouted about not winning the MVP and got support from his general manager, by the way, on that. But now it's like, you're playing Chris Paul for a chance to advance in a shortened season that's important, and maybe you can win a championship. Is it personal? Nah.
0432 on the text line says, this game is not about Harden. He can score 50 and still lose. That's the dumbest thing that anyone said on this text line. And I love you, 0432. I really do. I love all the loopholes. This is 100% about Harden. And it's not just about scoring. It's about making your teammates better. It's about showing that he is an underrated defender like he is, playing on both ends of the court. If you say this game is not about James Harden, then you're wrong. Now, is he probably going to need some teammates to step up? Yes, but this game is 100%. This isn't about anyone else except James Harden and the Houston Rockets and then Chris Paul with the Oklahoma City Thunder. This is all about James Harden. So to say it's not about James Harden, that you are completely wrong about that. What we see in 5 hours in 18 minutes is all about James Harden, and everything we see in this postseason is all about James Harden, and it's going to be all about James Harden until the end of his career, until he finally hoists up the trophy, the Larry O. And if he doesn't, then it's still going to be about James Harden. That's just the situation. When you're as good as James Harden is, when you've built the reputation and the resume that James Harden has, it's always about James Harden. It was always about Kobe. Even when he didn't have a very good team, it was always about LeBron. If you think James Harden's an all-time great, it's always, 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 always about James Harden, period.
Yes. Now, you can say, well, what about Donovan Mitchell yesterday? Well, first of all, that was an incredible game. Porzingis should not have been ejected, by the way. And you can score a lot of points and lose. James Harden can't do that. James Harden has to score 50 and win and show that medal that we're talking about right here.
Nah. Porzingis. Figgy said, do you mean Luka?
You said Donovan Mitchell.
Oh, yeah. Well, Donovan Mitchell.
It was two different games.
Donovan Mitchell. Yeah,
no, I know. I'm just saying you can score a lot and lose.
Yeah, Mitchell had 57 and lost, got that 8-second violation. Pretty costly. Porzingis, by the way, I don't know why he got ejected, but just not a very good look for him. Let's get motivated. Let's get motivated. As if we didn't need any more motivation. We already got the best Tuesday ever. We're going to hear from the most exciting guy in town, Anthony Weaver, defensive coordinator of your Houston Texans. Next.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry.
Boy, I hope James Harden's lying to us about this not being personal. If this
that could
personal,
be.
Just pack your bags. Pack your bags and get the hell out of here. Go ask PJ Tucker if it's personal. I guarantee you get an answer of hell yes.
Great example.
It's effing personal.
Great example.
Okay? James, you got about 5 hours and 12 minutes to get your mind correct. Shout out to Paul Wall and Chameleoner, one of the best albums of all time. Get your damn mind correct. Get ready for the playoffs. Zach Greinke, we know his mind's correct. 2 hours away. Best day ever. Greinke on the bump, then the Rockets. I'm going to go get my run in, then I'm going straight to the tequila. Believe that.
Oh, you are?
I'm going to pour up.
Good for you.
Twist up, act an ass today. Believe that. Trying to get Figgy there with me. One guy who probably isn't going to act an ass tonight, Anthony Weaver. Classy guy.
Twist up, didn't he?
Anthony Weaver. He is.
Pretty sure I heard that.
It's supposed to just be a drive-by, but there
we
go.
Twist I just
up.
Wanted to make sure I heard
if
it right.
Twist up, twist up.
Yeah.
Here is Anthony Weaver talking about his defense and starting with the second round pick by way of TCU, Ross Blacklock.
Ross is a joy to coach. He comes to work every day with the mindset of getting better. And that's all you can ask for. I think we saw that pre-draft when we had him here for a visit. We knew he was determined to go out there and reach his absolute, absolute best. And he comes in every day to work to try to achieve that. So I couldn't be more happy with how he's progressing to this point.
The progress of Jonathan Grenard, and does he remind you of anybody?
Oh, man. John Grenard, he's a physical ball player. And you see that particularly when he's setting the edge in the run game. As far as comparisons, that's tough. I'd like to say he's a little bit like Brennan Scarlett to this point, But you can see the sky's the limit for that kid. You can teach him all the fundamental underneath coverage drops, particularly zone drops. Like I said, he can set the edge. He's only going to develop and continue to get better as a pass rusher. But he's another guy just like Ross who just continues to go out there and attack the practice field every day. And as long as he continues to do that, he's gonna be as good as he could possibly be.
What has Hargraves showed you that made him a number one choice a few years ago?
I mean, you see his athleticism. You see his athleticism, his ability to cover in the slot, which is not an easy job. You know, a lot of those guys, when they're lying on slots, slots got a two-way go. And those outside corners, they can use the sideline. You know, Vernon doesn't get that. So he's quick as a cat, and he's able to handle those slots. And I think that's probably where he's best suited to play. And that's where he's going to shine, and we're going to best be able to utilize his skill set.
Anthony, I wanted to ask you about A.J. Moore and Eric Murray. What stands out about those two players, respectively?
Oh, I mean, I love both of those guys. You talk about guys who are completely selfless, team-oriented guys who are willing to go out there and do whatever it's going to take to win. A.J. Moore is dominant on special teams. And when I talk about defense, I always talk about defense and special teams. I love our offense. If you got offensive guys on special teams, they're not made to go tackle the ball and hunt. You know, that's our job. So what A.J. Moore does on special teams to me is a reflection of who we are on defense, and I love him for that. Eric Murray has been excellent back there with Justin Reed. He is an incredible communicator. He's been in a number of schemes, and he's very smart, so he can handle as much information as you give him. And I'm thrilled that he's here with us.
How does JJ react when he hears some of these young guys say, oh, I watched you when I was growing up? Some of these guys now watched him when he was in college and even in the NFL.
Yeah, I think he can't help but laugh at it. But I also know just the competitive side of JJ. He wants to go out there and show those young bucks that he's not an old dog quite yet.
All right, so going back to this, and look, man, I want Eric Murray to be good more than anybody. I'll tell you this right now. If Eric Murray establishes himself as a quality starting safety, I'll get a jersey or something like that. Like, yeah. I'll do something to support Eric Murray just because I've been so hard on him.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Anthony Weaver just said about Eric Murray. Can I get a who, Figgy? Like, is it... Who? Thank you. I mean, I know we know who he is at this point, but he deserves the who until he makes a play. Here's what Anthony Weaver said when he was asked about him. What do you think about Eric Murray and A.J. Moore? Here's Anthony Weaver. They're both very selfless. They're team-oriented guys. A.J. Moore's dominant on special teams.
Mm-hmm.
And Eric Murray is a good communicator who processes info. What in that hole... 1 minute is supposed to make me feel good about Eric Murray. Again, who? Selfless, team guy, A.J. Moore's dominant on special teams, and Eric Murray is a good communicator, and he can consume information. That's what I'm getting. Compare that to what he said about Ross Blacklock.
Sure.
Big, yeah. Athletic, strong,
learning.
Move him around, still learning, all this. That's what you get about Ross Blacklock. Eric Murray, selfless, team guy, dominant on special teams, communicator, info. Congratulations. You're the new nanny for my kids. I don't know if I want you to be the safety for the Houston Texans. Ooh. After hearing all this. I'm having to hear about this guy being a personal protector from Bill O'Brien.
Yep.
I'm hearing about he's hanging his hat on what he was as a corner, which obviously wasn't that good because they moved him to safety because he couldn't beat out Phillip Gaines. And now I'm hearing about all these. Tell me why I'm supposed to feel good about Eric Murray based on that, please.
I will tell you because a part of it also, and of course could have been lip service, but we trust Anthony Weaver. He said he's thrilled to have him here back there with Justin Reed. Now, he didn't talk about playmaking and some of the things he's done. All he said was what you just mentioned, that, you know, he's a good communicator. Not exactly a full-throated endorsement there, but he did say he endorsed Eric Murray as a starting safety. That's his guy. Now, for better or worse, but he did endorse him.
713-572-4610. Am I overreacting? I've been known to do that.
Slightly, I think,
no,
if I had to guess.
This is the problem.
But slightly. He said, this is our guy. I'm glad to have him.
John, this is the problem. This is the problem I have. I'm not inventing this. As soon as they signed Eric Murray, we both said, wait, what? Is there an extra zero in there? Like, did something happen? Did they put an extra zero in that contract? What's going on? And then we looked it up, and then we started calling people. We said, what's up with this guy? What's up with Eric Murray? Chiefs fans said, man,
who?
Are we talking about the same guy? I said, yes. Browns fans said, what? Oh, 29, yeah. Yeah, him.
Well, the other thing is, I don't know. They're not. He's going to be the starting safety because of what they're paying him. And whether it was backhanded or not, he did. You know what? Can we play that part again just on Eric Murray? Because I think he and Anthony Weaver is a great communicator. And so maybe he put a little extra jelly on it. But he did seem pretty legitimately excited or acted. You know,
I just want you to tell me that this guy's a good cover guy. This guy can,
I understand
can
that.
Go all over
no.
place. This guy can fill the hole. This guy is interchangeable. We can play him at, you know, all this. That's what I want to hear.
I'm not saying there's you're not, wrong with your opinion.
This is basically like she's a nice guy, but a nice girl, but.
I'm not saying you're wrong with your opinion, but listen to the whole thing. And I think you legitimately get a little bit. Now, maybe it's because they're paying him so much. A little bit of excitement from Anthony Weaver.
Eric Murray has been excellent back there with Justin Reed. He is an incredible communicator.
Well, okay.
He's been in a number of schemes, and he's very smart, so he can handle as much information as you give him. And I'm thrilled that he's here with us.
See, he did say, I want to be fair.
All right.
I don't want to be fair. Now, maybe it's certainly biased because the general manager head coach just said, this is your guy. So if I'm the defensive coordinator and I just got promoted to defensive coordinator, I would say, yes, sir, he's my guy. So I get that it's a little biased, but he did say he's been excellent back there.
Okay.
We shall see.
Okay.
We shall see. But it wasn't altogether he's got a good personality.
All right.
You know?
All right. 8664, that is Ocho on the text line, says, full-throated endorsement. Lopez, get your mind off the HR lady.
What did I do?
He said, full-throated endorsement. Get your mind off the HR lady.
Yeah.
Anywho. You know Lopez, he's a lightweight, kind of creepy guy.
Moving on.
Man, Eric Murray, if he is this hybrid corner safety, I mean, against Kansas City, you're going to have Nicole Hardeman and Tyreek Hill in the slot. You're going to have Jonathan Edwards-Helaire running flares out of the backfield, maybe some wheel routes. You're going to have Travis Kelce running the intermediate routes. You're going to have Tyreek Hill on the outside. You're going to have Sammy Watkins on the outside. And then against the Ravens, you're going to have a little bit of Hollywood Brown action, a little bit of Mark Andrews action, a little bit of J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram coming out of the backfield. It's going to be an early test for Eric Murray. And I would say, and this is what I'm going to say, if the Texans start out 0-2, I'm not going to sit here and yell because these are the first two teams. These are two of the best teams in the NFL. So an 0-2 start is not the end of the world, and things will even out. It won't get any more difficult than it is there. But I'm going to have to see him look at least competent. For $6 million a year to be your starting safety, you're going to get burned every once in a while. But he's not. He can't look completely lost in these two games.
Hey, if I had to pick a side, Eric Murray's going to struggle or he's going to be, quote, excellent, as Anthony Weaver said, I would go with you and say I think he's going to struggle. All I'm saying is that's their guy, man, like it or not. And I think at least from what he's saying publicly, he likes what he's seeing from Eric Murray.
713-572-4610. Eric Murray Hate Club is picking up. I didn't mean to start this, but it happens sometimes. That's the defensive side of the rock. Let's go to the offensive side of the rock. Tim Kelly. What could Tim Kelly say to win you over today at the press conference? We'll hear from him. We'll also hear from you. How you feeling? 713-572-4610. Best Tuesday ever. Lay out those thoughts. Let's get a little think tank going on the best day ever next.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Man, Tim Kelly, play caller for your Houston Texans first year. Not sure how I feel about that. John Lopez is okay with it because he says any change is good at this point for the Houston Texans. Camp is going on. We're going to hear from Tim Kelly. You know the one thing that I could hear from Tim Kelly?
I was just going to ask you. Let's answer the question that you just talked about before we went to break. What can Tim Kelly say? We heard from Anthony Weaver, and we did the record scratch. We got to go back to that when he talked about Eric Murray. And I think we kind of hashed that out between us and our loopholes. And we have different opinion, but we're in a pretty good place with Anthony Weaver and Eric Murray. At least we know where he's coming from. What can Tim Kelly say to make you feel good that the offense is
this time they really mean it, that the offense is going to be different and that much better.
I think the one thing that Tim Kelly could say is, look, our staff has failed to maximize what we've had on offense the last few years, and it's my job to actually take that next step. I don't need to hear what y'all have done well, because y'all haven't done very well at maximizing the offense. I don't need to go through the numbers again. Exact same amount of yards last year, one less rushing, exact same amount of passing yards, and less points per game. So the one thing he could say is, look, Bill O'Brien was a crappy offensive coordinator, and it's my job to actually be a good one.
Well, I don't know if you're going to get that, Landry. I really don't. I don't know if you're going to get that. I want to hear something about, look, nobody wants to know, nor should you expect to know, you know, this is how we're going to use these guys. But, well, actually, that would be good. Like, nobody wants game plans and plays.
No,
and,
I want to be surprised.
You know, no, yeah.
I want to be surprised.
Well, you can't say that stuff anyway. But I want to maybe hear about how he's going to approach the philosophy offensively different. Like, we plan on using
tempo,
whether it's tempo, the proverbial RPOs, run pass option, maybe how he's going to spread the field, what happens when he spreads the field, you know, a little detail on, you know, make us feel better. Make us feel better about DeAndre Hopkins being gone and that Bill O'Brien is no longer calling the plays.
Here is Tim Kelly talking about the Houston Texans offense.
Hey, Tim, what have been some of your observations of Kiki QT in camp, and what are some of the things that you wanted to see from him as far as improvement going into his third year?
Kiki's done a really good job of coming back and doing everything that we've asked him to do. He's been able to go out there and make plays when they've come his way, building trust with the quarterbacks, being where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there. And again, at the end of the day, the biggest part of that position is getting open and catching the football, and Kiki's doing a great job with that.
When do you expect to get Waring back?
Holly's
Barry Warner, yeah. Right there. He practiced, man, just so you know, but maybe he'll tell us what Kahale Waring can do.
Kahale's working. He was out there today working for us, and you know, we're going to continue to work and make sure that his learning of the offense continues to grow, and yeah.
For the short period of time that you've had pads on, the difference with Titus Howard now compared to a year ago?
Yeah, with all those offensive linemen, obviously playing next to one another, there's going to be growth there. And then obviously the jump from a rookie to a second-year player is always very great. So, you know, he's not seeing things for the first time. He's kind of learned the tricks of the trade a little bit. And instead of really focusing on what his assignment is, he's really able to focus on the execution of it, being physical and doing all the things that we ask them to do in that offensive line room.
Okay, Tim, forget about down or distance or situation. Do you have a favorite play call? What do you anticipate your favorite play call might be this season?
Yeah, I think you heard Deshaun say it the other day, right? Said the same thing, some go balls to all those numbers, right? Kenny, you know, Randall, Brandon, you know, Kiki, Will, all those guys. So anytime we can put the ball into our playmakers' hands, and our quarterback feels good about it, that's going to be one of our favorite calls.
Hey, Tim, you've seen some fullbacks kind of across the
league. That's
what I want
to hear. That's what I was talking about, you know, how they want. Now he's on the same page throwing the deep ball with Deshaun Watson talking about it. He heard Deshaun. I like that. That's part of what I was talking about, Landry.
Be part of some really successful offenses this past season. As Colin enters his second year, what more do you think he's capable of doing?
Yeah, I think, you know, we talked about Titus earlier in terms of making that jump from a rookie to a second-year player, and I think that goes for Gilly as well. Again, it's his ability to not only just learn where he's supposed to be, but now he can really focus on how he's supposed to get there and how he's supposed to do certain things. So, again, anytime we feel like a player on the field is going to give us an advantage, we're going to make sure we take advantage of that.
Tim, I'm pretty sure that you saw that the Chiefs are going to have, or at least trying to have, 22% capacity. How do you plan from a communication standpoint? I mean, I can imagine you would plan for, you know, full capacity or no capacity. How do you guys plan from a communication standpoint of, like, some fans being in the stands? How's that going to affect things?
Yeah, for us, we're going to continue to prepare our guys for really every scenario possible. So whether it's this week or week 16 or whatever it may be, we got to make sure that our guys can operate in every atmosphere. So whether that's in front of the, you know, just under 17,000, I think is what it comes out to. I did the math last night. It was late. I don't quite remember what it was, but whether it comes out to that or, you know, here week two. You know what I'm saying? So, like, there's going to be some different types of atmospheres, and we got to make sure that our guys are prepared and ready to go for whatever atmosphere that we're walking into.
There you go, Tim Kelly. So he won you over.
No, but I did hear some things I wanted to hear. I like the fact that he was on the saying many of the same things about they're going to throw the ball deep. I hope they do. I hope the first series of every game, first play of every game, if that's the case, let's stretch them, man. Let's see what they got back there. Let's see if we can get a guy open behind a safety and test them down the middle. That I would love that. And they, again, you know, there are a lot of ways that we're going to, you know, determine whether Tim Kelly is a better, better option than Bill O'Brien. You're looking at me funny. I'll get to that in a second. But that's one way. That's one way. Why are you looking at me funny?
Barry's not going to be going to every press conference, is he?
Oh, that's why.
Going in the Zoom, right?
Yeah, no. Barry Warner.
He asked about Kahale who practiced.
Yeah.
Is that what we're going to get now?
Yeah. I don't think so. Well, maybe Barry was out yesterday and didn't hear that Kahale practiced.
Okay. All right. There we go. I'm intrigued. I like this. I like this media mix we got this year. I'm starting to get the personalities. I think the pressers are starting to get more entertaining because I'm starting to get the personality of everybody.
You know why?
Ask me any media type. I'll give you an example
of every
type.
Question.
But the media types. Yes. I'm starting to get a grasp of it.
First of all, one thing I really like is you're hearing from the coordinators. That's something that hadn't happened. I mean, you know, maybe every once in a while you would hear from the offensive coordinator or the defensive coordinator, but it's every week now, and that's a good thing. I think that helps fans kind of, you know, understand a little bit more about what these guys are all about. Doesn't insulate them. Now, media guys, I'm going to give you a run. I'm going to give you the name.
I'll tell you exactly what type of questions they ask.
You give me the 10-second rundown.
All right.
Greg Bailey.
Coach, how you doing, man? It's that time of the year. What's it like? What's it smell like when you go out there on that field and you smell the grass? And what's the best part about coaching this day and age, Coach?
John McClain. Bill, you talked about yesterday about Deshaun and his progress and a potential contract. What's it like having Deshaun here, franchise quarterback, the first time that you've had a quarterback 4 straight years like Deshaun?
Our very own Brandon Scott.
Hey, Coach. You know, talk about the process of Kiki QT getting back into camp. I know you said some good things about him the other day. Talk about how Kiki QT's looked in camp so far, Bill.
Wow. Randy McElvoy.
Hey, Coach. Randy McElvoy here. What do you think about Ross Blacklock's high school career? His high school coach told us that... He really did put in a lot of hard work, and Gary Patterson at TCU said the same thing. What do you think about the work ethic of Houston native Ross Blacklock?
Christy Reakin.
Coach, yes, J.J. Watt said that he is feeling very strange having to mentor the young guys. What do you think about J.J. now as a veteran as compared to when you first got here?
Sean Pendergast.
Yeah, Bill. The right now Las Vegas has you guys as a +250 on the board to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. What do you think the odds are that you're going to win that?
Sarah Barshaw.
She's pretty feisty. She's like undercover feisty.
Yes, Coach. You said that DeAndre Hopkins was a lot like Aaron Hernandez. Aaron Hernandez killed multiple people. Are you saying that DeAndre Hopkins killed multiple people?
She does do that.
Dude, she's undercover a straight savage with the questions. Sarah Barsha.
She really is.
You will be sitting there. You will be sitting there wondering when the question's
so
going to be asked.
She's so sweet sounding.
She's so sweet. She's so tiny. She does a good job, but she is a savage with the questions, but it's so sweet
Bill,
that it doesn't come across.
Did you kill that guy?
Wait, what? What?
You know, murder.
What?
Yeah, did you stab him?
Mark Berman.
Yeah, Bill, talk about the... Give me the... Hello?
Hello? Bill, talk about Deshaun Watson's two torn ACLs. Do you think it's possible he tears the third the ACL the third time? And talk about Duke Ejiofor's torn ACL. Do you have the latest on Duke Ejiofor? I understand he was on his way to the hospital 5 minutes ago. Do you have an update for us on Duke Ejiofor?
Adam Wexler.
Yeah, Bill. The last time that there was a season opener here, the first time in the early 2000s, the Texans beat the Dallas Cowboys, and I think they completed about 43% of their passes. Back in your first year, you guys completed 44% of your passes, and you still lost. What do you think the key is to winning when you complete 40% of your passes? Because the data tells me that in the last 20 years, you only win about 26.957% of those games.
Aaron Wilson.
Yeah, Bill. How you doing?
Hey, Aaron.
How you doing? Yeah, so you talked about Eric Murray and his versatility from Kansas City to, you know, Cleveland and, you know, what's it like having Eric Murray on your football team with Justin Reed?
Aaron Reese.
Oh, gosh. You want to talk about trying to flex your sports dog. Aaron Reese is like one of the most productive writers that we have here. He's the best resource. But my God, will he try to show off his sports dong. Yeah, Bill. You completed 67% of your passes when the temperature was below 46 degrees last year. According to DVOA, you want to be up in the 75% when the weather is that. How do you plan on doing that, specifically in 21 personnel with two running backs and one tight end? How do you plan on doing that in the 21 personnel and getting that percentage up and making your DVOA better?
Seth Payne.
Yeah, Bill, what do you think about players sneaking girls into the training camp? Have you ever thought about doing that? He's like a breath of fresh air.
Oh, my God.
That's all I got.
That's all I got.
I'm starting to really enjoy these pressers, though. 713-572-4610.
Oh, the bat phone is ringing off the hook. He's texting, buzzing off the hook.
Did you hear what Figgy just said in my ear?
No.
I'm not doing that.
Tell me, Figgy. No, man, I ain't doing that either. He's not even, does he even have a job?
All right, that's all I got there. Yeah. Sean Pendergast says, why do I sound like such a nerd?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Idea. I was just trying to get it on. What'd you say?
No.
Who'd you say? Pat who? Can I interest you in a stats? No, I ain't doing that. Big day today, by the way.
Oh, boy. We better move on.
Sports Radio 610. We have the Astros and Zach Greinke. We have the Rockets and James Harden. Let's just do a little impromptu Tuesday tripping. Tuesday future tripping. Let's hit it up. Let's hit the predictions. We still got 1 hour left in the show. Hit me with the predictions right now off the top.
713-572-4610. Well, I'm not going to pick against Zach Greinke if we're going to start with the Astros. Just not going to do it. I think he's been stretching himself. Zach Greinke will go 6 2/3 innings. Maybe get a little bit of give up a base hit in the seventh, and they have to pull him. But he gets the win. Astros win. I don't think he gives up more than 2 runs. Houston Rockets. Chris Paul is gonna ball out. Chris Paul is the prick that you want James Harden to be. We were talking about that earlier if you missed it. James Harden mentioning, you know, it's not personal with Chris Paul. I want it personal. I don't want Kevin McHale knocking Kurt Rambis into the floor and committing assault in the middle of a playoff game and only having it being called a foul. Welcome to the 80s. But I do want it personal.
Chris Paul is going to ball. This is going to be a one-possession game in the last 30 seconds.
Oh.
Going to come down to
Paul.
We're going to
get Chris Paul mid-range.
Going to come down to Paul and Harden. And I'm here for it. I can't even make a prediction. It's a one-possession game. Oh, you want me to make a prediction? Rockets win. But, I mean, the Rockets, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be that kind of game.
All right. Tuesday future trip in here on In the Loop. By the way, 713-572-4610. Let's do a little think tank at 120. 120 think tank. You want me to stick them on the table?
I want you to. I mean, not literally, for God's sakes.
Figuratively.
Yes.
Astros today versus the Colorado Rockies.
Mm-hmm.
Batting seventh. One of my least favorite Houston athletes. Abraham Toro.
Oh, is he going to go yard?
Either a home run or two hits. Mm. He's either going to hit a bomb or he's going to have two hits today.
We should have the roster. Have you seen the roster?
Yeah, there the lineup, it is. Yes.
Yeah, the lineup.
Correa's out. Abraham Toro will either have two hits or a homer.
Altuve's sixth?
Yes, he is sixth.
Buck 76, man.
Buck 76.
Gracious.
Toro's 129, but he's going to have two hits or a homer today.
I'm in.
For the Astros. I'm in. Zach Greinke.
He's going 6 2/3, man.
6 2/3?
Yeah.
I'm going to say that he goes a solid 5.
Okay.
I think it's going to be hard. That Rockies lineup is really
I know.
Good.
That's why it's ballsy, man. That's
As
for
the
for.
Rockets, Eric Gordon, 25 points.
Ooh, well, that's a W.
25 points. That's a Rockets
dub.
Win.
Yeah, that's a W.
Rockets win, EG with 25 points. That's my Tuesday future tripping. 713-572-4610. People are asking me to do like Rich Lord.
We're talking about the Zoom callers. The
hey,
Zoom,
did you guys hear?
The Zoom media.
You want me to do Rich Lord? Rich Lord wouldn't be in a press conference, okay? Like, if we're just being honest. So there's the Rich Lord. Absolutely.
Do Barry Warner.
No, I'm not doing
that. Bill. Bill. Al Davis used to tell me when I was scouting for the Raiders that it's not so much how big they are, but how fast they run. Tell me about the priority on your speed with this team.
Bill. I'm a big deal in Buffalo. Talk about Dwayne Brown and the job he's done at left tackle this year.
Yeah, Dwayne doesn't play for us.
Oh, well, your left tackle. What do you think about your left tackle?
All right, I'm getting out of here before I go to hell on scholarship. Let's go around the NFL next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.